Welcome to One More Chapter. I'm Brian Rex Davis, editor of Action Magazine, and I'll be your guide as together we rediscover ancient wisdom for today's challenges. King David once said, "Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." That's from the book of Psalms in the Bible, chapter 40 and verse 17. Chapter 1, Wisdom and Understanding. Today I'm joined by Joseph Morris. Joseph, you're a director, a producer. In fact, you do so many things. You're an entrepreneur, and it's an honor to have you on the episode today. Tell me a little about what you do and why you do it so that the group can hear your life experience and why it's important for you to be on the show today.
Absolutely, yeah. My name is Joseph Morris. I am a filmmaker and producer. It's probably the best title, the easiest title, right. But I'm a jack of all trades, and I hopefully am a master of some of them. I've studied a lot about filmmaking, both from a creative perspective, so what I call the outward perspective, what looks pretty, but also the directing and the writing, so the story and the substance. And so, my journey as a Christian and a filmmaker has coalesced at this time in my life, which has been really special to what I'm even going to call be witness to, because it's God, moving and working in my life. So I went to school, went to college for engineering, worked as an engineer for 3 years. And I got to a place where, the dream of filmmaking has been on my heart since I was a child. And the biggest reason that I found that I was not pursuing it was because of fear. And I thought that was a terrible reason to not do something. And, part of that journey for me is, what is my faith going to look like? And what is my relationship with God going to look like? And it was in that moment that I had to come to terms with, all the things that I had heard in my childhood, the things that I said that I believed about God. If I didn't get up out of that desk, out of that office, and go pursue something that I felt like God was calling me to, I was in essence calling God a fraud in my life. And so I needed to hopefully arrive at a place where, and it was more so, God, I'm giving you all of my life. I think at the beginning I was maybe giving you part of my life. Mm-hmm. But now every element of my existence, I'm handing it over to you. And so what has come with that has just been immense happiness, immense joy to be aligned with my purpose in life, but also to know that, God has me. The anxieties and the fears that I maybe once had have started to disappear in a very real way. And so as you can see, I'm excited to tell everybody about it. So.
You're an exciting person to get to know. I actually met Joseph as he was working on a project by one of our sponsors, Methetis, which is a video group Bible study opportunity that we've mentioned on the episodes before. And Joseph is actually one of the creative artists behind the development of one of those, what will become a quarter or a 10-week series, or maybe 11, 12 if I can twist your arm,
yeah.
As we craft some more curriculum for that Methetis sponsor that offers those opportunities for Bible study. And so it's been a privilege getting to know you in that project. But on our particular podcast, One More Chapter, we're exploring wisdom, but we recognize not everybody who joins our podcast and listens to us is at a place where they accept that God exists, or that ancient texts that we look at, many of which are referred to as scripture, that they might not be valid in some way. And in our first few episodes, we've actually explored the nature of wisdom, the very nature of having to have a wider context of wisdom. That's why old people give wisdom to young people a lot of times. They've had a wider context of life. And so the young person, not having experienced something, just no fault of anyone, just because of age, looks to that wider context to see if there's some wisdom to help me with the struggles of life. You obviously are a believer, You obviously do consider the spiritual side of your life as important and valid. You are actually at a point in your life, you accept there is spirit, there is God that you need to be listening to. Recognizing not everybody has that perspective, in our exploration of ancient texts, I've tried to introduce to all of our listeners the spiritual side of humanity. And no matter where you are in that process of belief or in that spectrum of belief, I don't think it's good to discount the spiritual side of humanity or to even discount spirit, especially if you're exploring wisdom for the first time. If you're looking for things to help you with life's challenges, you've obviously struggled through several challenges like fear and things of that nature. We're going to look at one particular ancient text today together, and it comes with a story so that you understand the context of the particular ancient text we're going to look at. I'm going to read the text, I'm going to tell the story, and then I'd like to get your reflections on what that can mean for a person of your generation, and perhaps even wider observations about our next generation, and what some of those common struggles are that people are facing and how they approach them. Working with you in the project with Methodist, I know you have a lot to say about these things, and I appreciate your thoughts very deeply on that. Our text today comes from, again, that very ancient text of the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. It comes from a date somewhere between the 13th and 15th centuries BC. The author of that book is Moses, the same Moses that led the children of Israel out of Egypt, a man uniquely educated by the dominant society of the day, the nation of Egypt, someone who would have practiced his education academically, militarily, in government circles, in wisdom circles. And he became the leader of the children of Israel as they were brought out of Egypt. And he recorded not only Genesis, but the first five books of the Bible. And within the book of Genesis, there is the widest context of any text I know on earth. There are older texts that we have discovered and we've read, but there's not one that actually claims a wider context for wisdom's sake, such as, where did we come from? Such as, did someone design us? Is there a God? Why am I here? How am I made? All of those things. We've actually spent a little bit of time looking at earlier texts in Genesis from chapter 1 and 2, but want to look at this one in chapter 3. Let me read the text, and then I'll tell the story of what's happening around it. Genesis chapter 3 in verse 17 says, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now, this is a text. It sounds kind of ominous, and that's because it's actually a punishment text. It's a consequence. Moses recorded this. He could not have experienced it because it's of a time before he lived. So, by faith, we accept that this is revealed. Jesus Christ accepted this as truth, as revelation, as from God. And so if that's true, Moses is relating something that God gave him to relate that speaks to the very origins of mankind, man and woman. Because the story around this verse talks about how God created man, named him Adam, and then found that there was no suitable partner for him on earth, created woman, named her Eve, and placed them in a beautiful environment called the garden. But in that environment, God gave them one rule. And he demonstrated this concept of law in the garden by saying, "This is the tree of life. You may eat from this tree and you will live. But this other tree is the knowledge of good and evil, And from that tree, you're not to eat. In fact, you're not even to touch it. If you touch it, you will die. And so there's consequence to the violation of law. Now, you would think with one law, they could keep the one law. But you think back over your own life of how many simple rules your parents gave you. And I know this never happened to you.
Oh, no.
No. We're not real good. In fact, if we know there's a law, there's this inertia, this temptation. I want to cross that line. I've got to touch the forbidden fruit in the case of the story of Adam and Eve. And indeed, Satan, a spiritual being revealed in Scripture as being the enemy of God and the enemy of mankind, a being created by God, but who chose, and we'll get into this in future episodes, why choice is important in terms of being created in the image of God. But Satan, having chose wrong, became an enemy of God and then tempted Eve and Adam to eat from that tree that God said, don't eat it, don't even touch it. And in so doing, something came into the experience of mankind that the Bible refers to in many passages as sin. A very small word, but a very large concept, and that is the disobedience of Creator God, the violation of the will of our Creator. And as such, God came into the garden where he used to walk with Adam and Eve and explain the world around them, explain in those ancient times why he had created them, why the good things of the garden were there for them. Must have been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But suddenly God came into the garden and Adam and Eve were hiding, fearing. You'd mentioned fear earlier in your experience. That's something we all experience and struggle with, but they feared because they knew they had disobeyed their Creator. And so there was not only a fear, there was a shame, and God confronted them, and then he gave consequences to their choice, to disobey him. And this particular verse is talking about the consequence to man. You and I are men. There are other consequences mentioned for Eve and even for Satan. But we'll focus on our own verse today about men. And that's why it said, by the sweat of your face, you will eat bread. Well, that had not been the case in the garden. Food was plentiful. You didn't have to sweat to produce it. But now that's going to change. Till you return to the ground. Now that was not supposed to be. Because if you ate from the tree of life, you would live. Death was not a reality at that time. And so they were created to be eternal beings, but suddenly, now I'm going to physically die. And my body is going to return to the ground because from it you were taken. In the early chapters of Genesis, it talks about how God formed man from the dust of the ground, from the elements of creation. And so man has a physical body. But in an earlier episode, we read how he breathed the breath of life into mankind, into man and woman, and thus there is a spiritual nature revealed in this ancient text that is a part of who we are. But the physical part is going to return to dust, and to dust you shall return. And so the consequence of disobedience came into the garden. Life changed. Now, for us, in a pursuit of the understanding of wisdom, you've shared some of your life experiences. You've shared something very common to all of us, our fears. And from your story, obviously, you were looking to your spirituality and to spirit, to God, as a viable option for wisdom. Why did you go there? Why were you even willing to consider that side of life?
So growing up, my father, every Saturday morning, begrudgingly on my part, we sat at our breakfast table, and whatever date of the month that it was that day, whether, you know, 15th of March, we would read Proverbs chapter 15. And, you know, he would ask my brother at the end, you know, tell me something that you learned from the chapter. And so I say begrudgingly because I didn't get it at the time.
Sure.
I just didn't understand it. But something about Proverbs that I love is that it's bite-sized wisdom that typically anybody at any age from any walk of life can immediately, you know, kind of take bite into and start to apply it to their lives.
And let me orient our listeners. Proverbs is another book in the Bible. It is ancient because it's in that first section of the Bible, a collection of wisdom sayings, actually. We're going to spend a whole lot more time in this podcast on Proverbs because it is literally what this podcast is about. So carry on.
Yeah. I was going to mention there's I read the Narnia books when I was a little kid, and C.S. Lewis obviously a very had a very focused Christian worldview in his literature. There's a scene from one of the movies of his books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And the White Witch, who, you know, kind of represents the devil character in the story, is taunting the lion, Aslan, who is the godlike figure, about the certain rules, about the way things work. And he roars at her and he says, "Don't quote the deep magic to me, woman. I was there when it was written." And I love that scene. It's such a it's such a pivotal moment in the story. But also I love that scene for me because when I look at my life and I look at the options that I have in life, you know, God gave us free will for a reason. That's what the choice of taking of the fruit in the garden represented. God gave us free will from the very beginning. For me to sit and to say basically to God that I reject, you know, what you have defined as wisdom and folly, God was there when it was written. He defined wisdom and folly. And so for me, I take, you know, I just sat down and I said, what direction do I want to go in when the option is so clear? You know, a lot of times when we look at, you know, wisdom or folly, which one I have, you know, which direction that I want to want to take, people tend to think of folly as this is where I have free will. If I were to choose wisdom, if I were to choose God, that's limiting. And the folly in that is that you will be slave to something that is our nature as human beings. What you choose to be slave to is what can free you. And that's the nature of godly wisdom is that it is actually freeing by choosing what the world claims as wisdom, which is ultimately folly, wherever that follows you in life, you're slave to it. And so it's a pursuit of freedom. And it's that deeper level of understanding that we eventually hopefully come into that God is trying to get us to see.
We explored some earlier passages in Genesis that talks about in the beginning God created. If that is true, if God did create and create me, then it behooves me to at least consider what he says for wisdom in life. But, you know, a lot of people, everybody knows they have challenges. Everybody gets that. But very few people actually look and pursue wisdom. Why do you think some people pursue wisdom and some people just sort of try to survive in life?
That's a really good question. I do think it comes back to that fear thing. When you start to really think about our existence and why we're here, that can start to scare you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit humbling.
There's these videos out on YouTube where it shows like the scale of our universe. And so we, you know, you start with Earth, planets smaller than Earth, and you go to the biggest stars that are tens of thousands of times, you know, the size of our star. And to, when I look at that and I see, you know, it proves to me that there's intelligent creation. But then also when you look at Earth, you know, the size of an ant, that ant is intelligently created too. So to go from the size of that ant to the size of, you know, the biggest planet in our universe, it's not chaotic. Mm-hmm. It all resides peacefully.
Yeah.
And so,
and in fairly recent years, people who have approached wisdom via science, and this is fairly recent, often try to use science to say God doesn't exist. There is no intelligent design. Yet the nature of science itself records all of the orderly processes and all of the order to the created order. And so it's almost as if you're defeating yourself by pursuing the very science you say proves there is no God, or that because of science there is no God.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a sad place, because no matter how hard you work at science, you just never quite get there. There is no answer.
Yeah, it's a never-ending pursuit. And that goes back to my point of bringing it up. It's eventually you arrive at a point to where there is, I can't find the answer to what I'm seeking. And a lot of people stop there.
Right.
And so, you know, I had a conversation with someone, and it was almost a choose your crazy conversation. I don't know if that's appropriate for here, but
totally appropriate.
I told him, I was like, you know, it can be crazy to believe that there's an invisible God out there that has created everything. I can't, how you and I are having a conversation in this physical realm, I can't necessarily do that with God, but I can choose to believe that he's out there and he created me in this world, or I can choose to believe that we came from nothing and we just happen to exist. One of those is scarier to me than the other one.
One of them takes actually more faith than the other.
I believe so as well.
Yeah.
So with your question of, you know, why, you know, pursuing wisdom, why do some people pursue it and why do some people not? I have recognized and chosen to believe that God is my creator. And so when you look at his awesome power, when you look at what he has done, when you look at your own life and look at what he's done in your life, I am humbled beyond measure. Yeah. It's a posture that forces me to my knees at times, where it's like I sometimes don't feel honored to even be one of his, just because of the awe of his creation, the fact that he not only intelligently designed me, but wants to have an intimate relationship with me. And so when I think about those things, I want to know what he has for me. I want to know what he says is right and what's wrong. Because if he's telling me that and he created this world, well then, you know, maybe I'll turn out all right if I pay attention to it.
So. Yeah, yeah. And the very night, I know empirically, everybody gets that they have challenges.
Yeah.
But it's also empirical evidence that I don't have the solutions to all of my challenges. I mean, I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
All I have to do is look in the mirror and be honest with myself. I know I don't have that wisdom to come up with a solution to all those challenges. So having, one, recognizing a spiritual nature in myself, and I do recognize that. My very ability to communicate spiritual thoughts is evidence to me that I have a spiritual nature. I'm different from everything else on earth. Mm-hmm. And so, with that spiritual nature, I think it's perfectly valid to explore wisdom that explores the spiritual nature of man, but also leaves room for spirit speaking to man, for intelligence that designed man to speak wisdom to man. I think that's a very rational approach
Absolutely.
To the pursuit of wisdom. And that's why we do this in this podcast, looking at these ancient texts, to explore the validity of that. Ultimately, we have to take wisdom and see if it matters, if it really works. You know, when you were very fortunate to have a father who spent that time with you helping you explore and realize the spiritual side of your being, mm-hmm. Especially sharing that faith of spirit, of God, that would help you have a source for wisdom. Many people have not had that experience.
Yeah.
And so this might be a brand new thought. It might be scary to them to consider that there is a God, because there's a moral dimension to admitting there's a God. And then that gets scary in and of itself.
I'm now going to be responsible.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yes, personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, bummer.
Yeah.
that's very frightening sometimes. As we think about wisdom, you're from obviously from a younger generation than me. What is that next generation, in your opinion, preoccupied with when it comes to their challenges, the wisdom that they're perhaps looking for, perhaps not looking for? What would you share about that next generation that perhaps even my generation might learn or glean from your experiences?
Yeah, so I grew up in a generation where we saw, you know, the transition from what I'd call, maybe I can use old technology to new technology, I don't know. But, you know, in elementary school, I like had to go to a library and pull out books to do some of my earlier research papers. Yeah. By the time I graduated from college, everything was online. And so I've seen that change of access to information. I think one of the negatives of this newfound just worldwide access to information is that everybody thinks they're a genius. myself included, you know, it's like, if somebody asks, it's like, I've got a Reddit thread for you and I know exactly what's happening. So I have to check myself, on occasion, but, what comes with that is this, mindset of the Bible. I can't find answers in the Bible. It's old fashioned. There's nothing in the Bible that can apply to what I'm going through in my life. And I think many generations have probably, you know, tried to work through that. But our generation especially, you've got motivational speakers. You've got people on comment threads, Reddit, just people everywhere sharing thoughts and opinions and feelings about things. And oftentimes, where is truth? You know, we're seeing that not just in a, you know, from a religious perspective, but just, I mean, take a look at politics, not to even take a side, but just, you at one point could watch the news and get the truth. I remember it. I was 5 years old, the weird 5-year-old kid who would sit in front of NBC Nightly News and watch Tom Brokaw. That was me. And yeah, at that age. And now I think and look at how, in order to get to the bottom of an issue, I've got to look at 3, 4, 5 different sources in order to discover truth. And we just live in a very opinionated state, I believe, of society. And so with that comes what I think is really a death of truth, but also an opportunity to refocus our efforts towards the Word of God. And right now I think we're seeing a hunger for that.
It's about 25 years. I started this to interrupt you, but you sparked my thinking about, probably 50 years ago, out of Europe, there was a philosophical academic approach called relativism. I'd have to check on the dates, but it became very popular in academic circles where the idea everyone has their personal truth and everybody's personal truth is equally valid.
Absolutely.
Even though it may be totally contradictory. Yep. Now, I've lived in 8 different cultures, most of them primitive. That belief is actually what the witch doctors in the most primitive society I've lived in believe. That is the bedrock of belief in that primitive society. So I think it's interesting that academia arrived all the way in a circle back to the most primitive concepts that truth can literally be completely relative.
Yeah.
I think our next generation, as I travel around the United States, as I travel in different cultures, but especially in Western societies, I see young people becoming very dissatisfied with that platform on which to build a life. Mm-hmm. I reckon it to an experience of standing in quicksand. That can't be comfortable. That's got to be deeply dissatisfying and deadly eventually. So I think from those principles of relativism that perhaps were the rage in academia, we're now finding a generation that's looking on a rock to stand on.
Yeah.
Something firm, something trustworthy, which just screams of wisdom to me. I mean, the reason I go to my grandpa and ask his advice is because he's a rock in my life. I think I can trust him. I think he's going to tell me something that's good for me. I think I can stand on that. I can build something on that. That's been my experience with pursuing wisdom. And I hope in our podcast, we're at least introducing the idea that exploration of your spiritual side, or either your spiritual nature is probably a better way to put it, and then opening up the door to at least consider spirit, God, intelligence, a source. That's the power of this story. It tells me I'm created, I have a source, and there was instruction. When I violate that instruction, when I depart from that instruction, bad things happen. And thus I understand the origin of my challenges mm-hmm. in life. I find that incredibly empowering that I know the origin of challenges.
And I'll offer that that's where the disconnect, I think, exists for our, for my generation. Mm. It's why do challenges exist in my life? And if there's a God, how can that be? Yeah. And it goes right back to the beginning of what we've discussed, right. is that free will means that sin exists in our world. And so there will be people that choose evil and there will be people that choose good. Struggles come as a result of that, whether it's what I'd call small scale struggles, just things that I deal with, right. to large scale conflicts. Mm-hmm. People are looking for ways to reconcile that with their existence.
Right.
And the only way to reconcile that is through the truth that's found through God. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that I have explored that to its greatest extent, but I consider myself a fairly logical person. And so mm-hmm. I try to think through those things probably logically first. And the irony of that is that the explanation, I think, is deeply spiritual. It is something that is illogical. It cannot be explained. Mm-hmm. You know, God's grace, his mercy, his reason for creating us, you know, he could have easily created robots,
right.
people who perfectly obeyed him, but he chose to give us free will. Why did he? I don't know the answer to that question.
We're going to explore that in another episode.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Maybe you want to stick around. Yeah.
But to my point, it's I love exploring those things, and I think that's what people are trying to figure out. And you know, I'm 28 years old, so in your mm-hmm. 20s. Everybody who's gone through that period of life, you're trying to figure things out.
Right.
What may have been an easy, you know, what did mom and dad believe? Maybe I should try that out. It's the opposite now. It's like, I don't want that. That's the first thing I'm throwing out the door. Mm-hmm. If, you know, prior generations believe this, if relatives believe this, I'm finding every little thing that's wrong with it and I'm disassociating from it. Understanding the nature of humanity and of evil and of free will is critical to, I think, making a good judgment about those things.
And if we throw away that wisdom, the challenges actually get worse.
Absolutely.
They get more frightening. They get more complicated. You're a very serious thinker, and that's what I really enjoy about our conversations that we've been able to have. And you have found something hopeful and something joyful. And I think that's a real important point about wisdom. You can test it. You can put it to the test. And if it actually leads somewhere hopeful and joyful, well, hands down, that's better than fear or confusion or worry, all of those negative things. And so I think this particular passage, this particular ancient text helps me realize, even if there are bad things in this world, and there's a lot of evil in this world, I can have an understanding of where challenges come from. Now, it is a bit frightening when you realize, oh, there's some personal responsibility in this, and maybe I am the source of some of my challenges. Now, I do believe there are some challenges that are not that do not come from my own self. We're going to explore that in our next episode. We're going to look at the idea of random bad things, because I believe that's one area that people see and they have a reaction of gross injustice for that. But it's very hard to land or to resolve your sense of justice or injustice if there is no God who establishes what is just and what is not? Because if relativism is the only truth, then your justice is yours, my justice is mine, and it's just which one of us can compete and be on top of the pile. But if God is real, there is a justice, and that's worth exploring, because that's going to have a whole lot to do with how I understand what's going on around me and not become bitter or not become despairing or hopeless, because wisdom leads us out of those dark places. You recently produced a film that really portrayed the challenges of someone struggling in dark places. Tell us why you wanted to make that film.
Absolutely. Part of my spiritual journey has been, you know, wrestling with these questions, like we mentioned, that I don't have answers to. And, you know, I've had a dream of pursuing filmmaking since I was, you know, 12 years old. And I remember, you know, through my early years in middle school and high school, you know, I took the what I'd call the practical route. So I took my math and science classes, AP classes, went to college, got my engineering degree. I've always had a fear that, you know, my dreams for myself were incompatible with, you know, living a practical lifestyle with a family, with kids, that kind of a thing. And so that was a real genuine fear of mine. And I remember my dad, he would encourage me to, you know, to hold my dreams close to me, but then to also find ways to express what rested inside of my heart. My mom and my dad both encouraged me to do that. But my dad was very, you know, he encouraged me greatly in that. And so there were a couple of directors that I was listening to on a podcast, and they talked about writing about what scares you. And that was just a fear of mine that very early on has always existed. And so writing a film about two characters who were essentially two halves of me, having a conversation about, hey, I'm living the typical life, you know, the 9 to 5, I've got a family that depends on me. I've got people in my life. But then there's another guy in the conversation who has reached a status of what I call maybe celebrity or financial wealth, where, you know, he is living that dream out, but he doesn't have anybody to share it with. And so in between those two places is an opportunity to what eventually has happened in real life, to give all of it over to God. But in the film, my desire was to show what something like that could look like in real terms, especially for people who aren't walking with God. And that was really important for me to show for two reasons. One, I'm a Christian. I've chosen that path for me. But I have several people in my life, friends, family, who have not chosen that. And I don't think that God has called me to be so separate from them that I can't, you know, be friends and have real conversations with them. But I also really wanted to have something that I could take into any space. There's a phrase, all things to all people. I've heard that so much often in my life. I grew up what I'd call a very atypical, you know, environment. So, you know, I was raised on a street in my neighborhood where there was a family of every background and every race on the street. I went to a predominantly white high school, predominantly white church, but being raised in you know, black culture, coming from black culture, it allows me to really kind of exist in this bubble, in a sense, but be exposed to so many different things. So that allows me to hopefully be able to communicate in a way that's very empathetic to people from all different backgrounds and walks of life. And so that was a really important project of mine, to not only challenge myself to create something in the narrative film world. That's a dream of mine. Sure. I want to know if I can do it. But also to be able to say, hey, somebody's watching this, like, I see you, because this is what I'm struggling with.
Well, you do very good work. You do beautiful work. It was a joy to see that. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in filmmaking, interested in filmmaking as an art form that explores the spiritual side of man and spirit, and to check out what you're doing. The second chapter of what we do is we talk about our sponsors. World Bible School is a sponsor. Action Magazine, of course, that I edit. Also, Methodist, that you're one of the producers of. And tell us where we would go to find out more about what you're involved in, what you're doing, if interested in the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I run a small video production studio in Huntsville, Alabama, named Seon Media. So
how do you spell it?
It's spelled S-E-O-N. I tell people okay. It's like Leon, but with an S.
So, okay, very good.
That's my middle name. Don't use that for other reasons, illegal reasons. You got my full name now. I do mostly commercial work, but I have time to work on creative projects and obviously projects for the kingdom as well. And so this will be, I guess, around my fifth year of being in business and my third year of doing it full time. So, definitely come check me out, www.seonmedia.com.
Okay, and that'll be in our notes below, and we'll list that. And it's worth checking out because you really, truly do remarkable and beautiful work.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for being with us today. You're our first actual guest on this podcast, and we're looking forward to seeing your work with Methodist. Do check out those sites as well with Methodist or World Bible School if you want to dive deeper into the exploration of wisdom that we've been discussing here. It'll be a productive use of your time if you are pursuing wisdom for the challenges you're facing. In recapping, today we've looked at understanding the origin of our challenges and how that can empower us to seek the kind of wisdom that can really make a difference in our lives. It can be tested. Next time, we want to look at that random activity in life that really challenges us with what is just and if there's a God, how could he let something like this happen if it's bad? Recently, there were earthquakes in the Far East, and a lot of people struggling with those challenges. Those are very valid questions. We want to explore that a little. We'll look at some other ancient texts. But you touched on a point today that I want to underscore, and that is one of the wisest principles. You shouldn't try to face all those challenges alone or by yourself. That was really one of the powerful elements in your film, is that we are created to be in relationship with our Creator, but also relationship with one another. And that can be a very powerful tool. And that'll be worth exploring in another episode in and of itself, how together we can face challenges far better than if we get in that really bad place where I'm all by myself, I'm all alone, and then the fears just are magnified from that place. And so we'll pursue wisdom concerning those challenges that we face. Thank you for joining us. I'm Brian Rex Davis.
I'm Joseph Morris.
We've been exploring wisdom for today's challenges. Until next time.